following program is brought to you in living color.
A clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Why is it people who can't take advice always insist on giving it?
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about the cute, adorable, round little grape. And yes, I rarely fumble my own opening, but today is one of those days. So today is the day where you just need to draw closer to the speaker, because I haven't gotten on a good rant in at least 6 months. I just really have tried to rein myself in and be good and be dignified and be the great radio host that you really expect of me. But today I think we're going to shatter those bonds, and we're going to delve into a little bit of the dark side of the wine business and really just call some people out, because you hit a point where all of a sudden you've had enough, and I have hit that point now.
Wow.
I really am.
When you walked in here today, I thought you were so much more relaxed than you were last week. So,
well, that's because last week it was absolute chaos around here,
okay.
And it was musical chairs, musical doors, musical studios. It felt like that whole the play Noises Off, that you didn't really know what direction somebody was coming or going,
through
exit
windows,
stage left.
Doors,
yes,
walls,
yeah, that's
funny.
How last week was. But no, this week I just really feel like there's a knife in my back, and when I say my back, I do mean the wine business. We can't win. The wine industry cannot win. It seems like everybody else can be given passes, but because the wine business is all of a sudden considered alcohol, and by part of the country it's considered, oh, I don't know, some kind of evil sentient being that's just out to damage the children's, everybody just wants a piece of us, when ordinarily, if it had been about water, if it had been about cheese, if it had been about pickles, nobody would have paid a damn bit of attention. So we're going to get on some of that today. Actually, I'm going to get on some of the absurdities that are in the wine industry right now, and some of the politics that have come together, to me, just absolute total absurdities. So this may be a very entertaining show. Can't I hope?
Should I stand by on the delay button?
It probably wouldn't be a bad idea, no.
All right, very good.
Anyway, before I get rolling on that, let's do recommend some wines. Because, of course, the wines didn't upset me. Wines don't upset me. So let's go ahead and give them their fair shake. We have two wines today, obviously, that one's white, one's red. They're both from essentially the same area, California. The first is Stone Street 2008 Broken Road Chardonnay. Now, I know it's a great shock for me to be recommending a Chardonnay, but think about it. It's a 2008 Chardonnay. This is still available, and it's definitely worth finding, because what I've been doing lately is we've been looking at a lot of great summer wines. We've been looking at some refreshing coiffures, some things that are a little less dense. This Broken Road Chardonnay is 100% natural yeast, 100% barrel and malolactic fermentation, and spends 11 months in new oak. This thing is a monster. This thing is huge. If you are missing a baseball bat out of your garage, you can use this in its stead in a good way. This wine is just powerful. It is a Chardonnay that will stand up next to anything. What I find great about it, it's grown at about a 1,700-foot elevation. So usually when you start talking about elevation, you're discussing more Cabernets, you're discussing more mountain fruit, you're discussing occasionally Sauvignon Blanc. Rarely ever do you talk about an elevated Chardonnay. This thing is dynamic, it's huge, it's wonderful, and it's definitely worth finding. It's still on some shelves. It was very limited production. There were less than 400 cases of this wine made, but if you go to your Mega Marts, you can find it. It's Stone Street Chardonnay. This thing is absolutely elegant, extracted, big. It's just going to weight your shopping bag down as you carry it out the door, and it's definitely worth seeing, relaxing, and drinking. Drink it now. It will age well, but definitely drink it now. Your red wine is going to be Angela Pinot Noir out of Oregon. Now, it's unique. I know we discuss Oregon Pinots. This thing is kind of interesting. It's from the Clawson Creek Vineyard. And it's just really neat how they put a lot of time at Clawson Creek. They went through, and you hear about people being biodynamic. You hear about people that are really taking care of the soil. The Clawson Creek Vineyard, they actually put, like, parasites and bacteria. They actually add all the little microorganisms into the soil to make sure that the ground is nourished and healthy. Now, I know you know me and my tree hugger nature doesn't really exist, and I'm not into the granola, the tree hugging Mother Nature kind of thing. But I do have to agree, if the soil is healthy, then of course what's produced out of it's going to be great, especially since we're growing in a rocky area of Oregon. So this Angela Pinot Noir, this is aged in French oak. It is very extracted. It's beautiful. It's got a fairly low alcohol, which I'm appreciating right now. The alcohol on this Pinot Noir is only 13.5. In the past, a lot of those we're finding out of Oregon have been tipping up at 14.5, 14.7, 15.1. So the fact that it's not high alcohol means it's just silky. It's got this elegance. There's no burn. There's no high alcohol acidity flavor on the back of your tongue. You know, you don't feel it on your teeth. This is just absolutely lovely. But you get great red fruit flavors. You get very extracted berry flavors. And you do get a hint of that lovely earthiness that you do expect out of Oregon. So this thing is absolutely beautiful, definitely worth finding. Angela Pinot Noir, it's hasn't been out that long, but it's definitely worth searching down. And it's going to retail for under $50, so it's definitely going to be a value wine for you. So Angela Pinot Noir. Now, let's talk some absurdities. Do you ever remember back in high school where you had the prettiest kid in the class or the smartest kid in the class? And if they did something even remotely stupid, it was something they were going to make fun of forever. I swear the wine business is still like that. It still has its strange moments where people are going to look around, point fingers. Now, granted, we do have bloggers out there today, and the bloggers have served a great purpose in the sense that they don't let some of the drama that needs to be told get pushed under the carpet. In fact, I was very, very, very delinquent at the beginning of the show. We do have a great guest today. We have Chris Chislett, and he is of blogyourwine.com, and he is joining us today, which I think is going to be a great thing because Chris has a no-holds-barred kind of attitude. He is not one that's going to pull punches. I think we have some great bloggers out there. I think we have people that tell great stories, but I think sometimes that people varnish over the truth or some of the realities, and Chris is definitely not one of those guys, so I'm very much looking forward to speaking to him. But a couple things recently have happened in the wine business, and fingers have been pointed that I think is absolutely ludicrous, and there's three of them I'm going to refer to today. The first, I think this is a great story, and I do want to know what your take on it is. Now, everyone out there is familiar with Jordan Winery. Jordan, of course, is one of the legends in Sonoma Valley. It's been producing since 1972. Absolutely gorgeous property. The Chardonnay and Cabernet that grows there, I think, is absolutely fantastic. Now, there was recently an article written talking about Jordan sells original land to Native Americans. I think this was a wonderful story. I think it's the Wine Spectator that came out with it. Granted, it was made common knowledge. Basically, John Jordan took the original property that was created, Jordan, created the Cab, created the Chardonnay, and sold it back to Litton Rancheria, which is actually the name of the property, to the Pomo Native Americans. And the Pomo Native Americans, you know, obviously this was part of their original tribal land, and that was the story that got out. I think it's wonderful. Jordan wasn't using the land anymore. It wasn't part of his estate. The grapes that were grown there were not put into Jordan Chardon Cabernet. So instead of selling it to another winery, instead of selling it to another conglomerate, instead of just letting the land grow fallow, he sold it back to, in essence, the Native Americans. Now, here is where that has gone since then. It has gone that Jordan did it as a publicity move to try and gain more recognition for his Cab and Chardonnay by pointing fingers at his neighbors, saying that, oh, well, everybody else has sold tribal land and stolen it, but I'm the one giving back. It has also gone to the opposite extremes of criticizing the Native Americans who bought the property, saying you're just going to build another casino on it, and now we're going to have to fight all kind of battles. Why did all this have to come from this one story? Why couldn't it have been a simple matter? I want you to think about this. Winery land is sold every day in California. Every single day, someone sells a piece of land, somebody purchases it. Why did this become news? Why did this become a hotbed? Why do you have some people saying that this is just a ploy on either the Jordan's part or on the tribe's part to make problems and make things difficult?
Well, who's generating the negative talk about this?
Oh, it's coming from every different direction. All you have to do is look on Twitter. All you have to do is look on the internet. And see, that brings it to another really, really good point, is no one really knows where all the negative press started. You can't point right now to one article, to one blog, to one commentator who said, oh, this is asinine. Everything has been so random and done genetically through so many different blogospheres, random tweets, stuff like that, that if you try and parse it all together and try and trace it back to the source, there's nothing on it. Bottom line is John Jordan sold some land back to a Native American tribe. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. He sold land he wasn't using. How people can get some kind of political slant, some kind of right slant, some kind of left slant, that's my favorite part, is you're getting four different slants off two people involved, and everybody seems to have an opinion.
Follow the money trail.
But bottom line is, whose damn business is it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, when push comes to shove, if someone down in Southern California had sold a pickle farm, if you had sold your cucumber crop back to somebody else who may have owned the land 200 years ago, would that be in the news? Would anyone be making a big deal out of that? But because it's Jordan, because it's a preeminent winery, and because we're talking one of the hot buttons of maybe a minority or someone looking at it from that point of view, all of a sudden this is just dynamite in a keg that's going to blow up. Do you not see my point? Does this not bother you?
No, I got you. It does bother me. But there's a money trail. Somewhere there's somebody who had something to lose or something to gain by showing this in a negative light somewhere.
But if it didn't have anything to do about wine.
But if it didn't have anything to do about wine, you're saying no one would care.
I don't think anyone would.
I disagree with that. This happens with all kinds of things all the time.
It wouldn't get to the level it is. Because all of a sudden you talk about now part of the slant also is the Native Americans maybe going to be diversifying and making their own wine. So what? I think it's wonderful. I think it's great.
Yeah,
anyone
why
who
not?
Can use that property, I think it's absolutely outstanding. So then all the lawyers want to get involved and make sure the land can be used for that after John Jordan's used it for that since 1972. Why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
To what benefit does it serve? Absolutely nothing. Bottom line is land was bought, land was sold. End of story. It shouldn't matter who the players are, and it shouldn't matter. But yet, we're going to go ahead and take a media spin and put this out of control. It just absolutely disgusts me, and I find it absurd. We're going to take a small break here on The Crush while I take a deep breath and regroup. And when we get back, we will look at a few more absurdities in today's wine business.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
Hear that? That's an engine running with Z-Max. Z-Max delivers ultimate engine performance you can hear and feel every time you drive. With Z-Max in your tank, you'll experience a smoother running, more powerful, better protected engine. And you'll see big savings from improved gas mileage. Take it from Max. Nothing works like Z-Max. Log on to ZMAX.com today and find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
You can win gas, lots of gas, free gas, all the gas you'll need for a year.
Interested? I thought so. It's PRN's Win Gas for a Year sweepstakes, presented by Wix Filters and Nationwide Insurance. Enter today, and soon you may be the one who doesn't care how high the price of gas goes. For you, it's free. To enter, or for official rules, go to goprn.com/fans. But hurry, though. The contest ends June 30th.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I am fired up today, and we're having a strong look and some strong personal opinions being bantered about some of the absurdities in the wine business today. Before we took the break, we were discussing the fact that all of a sudden everyone wants to put their nose into John Jordan's business on having sold his land back to Native Americans. Once again, it's a personal matter, personal endeavor, stay out of it. But then there's something else interesting that hit the news that fortunately re-shone the spotlight somewhere else. Recently, CNBC did an interview, and the whole story was based off Costco. And what happened is they wound up interviewing the wine buyer for Costco on CNBC. I believe her name is Annette Alvarez-Peters, and she's in charge of buying for the box chain. Now, it's a box chain. It's Costco. Costco is a nice chain. It is also the largest importer of high-end brands in the world. It has the largest wine sales. You are looking over $1 billion in wine sales. That's B with a billion. Costco sells $1 billion in wine. Now, in the interview, as they go through and they discuss how things are chosen, how things selected, Alvarez-Peters goes ahead and makes a comment along the lines about during the interview that wine is really no different than toilet paper. Or any other things, or any, it's, I think the exact quote is, certainly it's different than toilet paper, or is it different than tinfoil? And basically, Alvarez-Peters asked, why? Why is this different? And so now, all of a sudden, it has become this huge hot button over the fact that Alvarez-Peters calls wine a beverage. That's how the whole segment is. People can look at it whatever way they want to, but at the end of the day, it's a beverage. And you've got some serious wine people out there that are up in arms because that the buyer for this $1 billion wine account has the attitude they do. Hey, listen, for those of you who are sticking your nose straight into all of your wine Bibles, for those of you who are sticking your nose in the air, I have news for you. Wine is a beverage. That's what it comes down to. This is not brain surgery. This is not a high-end fashion label. This is not a car. This is not anything else. It is a beverage. At the end of the day, you put a corkscrew in it. You open up the bottle. Hell, you don't even have to use a corkscrew half the time. It is a beverage. It's something you consume. It is going to go away. It is disposable. That's exactly what it is. And I'll take it a step further. Wine is a commodity. For everybody out there that has a $9.99 Chardonnay, there are 50 others waiting in the wings to get the buyer's attention. Is wine a beverage? Absolutely. Is it a commodity? Yes. You bet your...
All right. So, now, who's saying this? Who's saying wine is not a beverage? Who's got their nose that far up in the air?
Oh, people are all upset over the fact that whether you look at the bloggers, where you look at the tweeters, where you look at people responding, the people in the wine circles are saying, I can't believe such a Philistine is buying wines for Costco. This woman is the largest importer of high-end wine brands, from Margaux to Aubryon to some of the high-end Bordeaux to the French Rhones to all those wonderful things. But all of a sudden they're saying, I can't believe we have this Philistine buying these wines. This is the most absurd, asinine concept I have heard in ages. And this is exactly why we have a problem in the wine business appealing to new drinkers. This is why we have a problem getting people on board with getting wine. Not only have we made it difficult to understand the beverage, not only have we made it difficult to read, to find, to pay for a lot of times, to ship, but not only that, we're going to turn around and crucify the people who are making wine commonplace, who are making wine accessible to everybody day in and day out. Here's my personal opinion. For those of you who are going through and you're going to crucify Alvarez Peters, I say you're jealous. She has her hands, she has the job that you want, and that's why you're insisting that she has no business going ahead and picking wines because she calls wine a beverage. I think it's plain, far-out jealousy, whether you're jealous she has the right to buy it, whether you're jealous her prices can beat you, or the fact that she gets the wines you can't. So ultimately, lay off and back off. It's Costco, yes, but that doesn't mean she's wrong in what she's doing, and I will go back and I'm going to say it for a last time. If you're going to argue that she has the opinion that wine is a beverage, what do you think it is? I really, really want to know. 877-4CRUSH-1. Email me directly, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. If wine is not a beverage, if wine is not a commodity, what is it? I want you to tell me. See, I warned you today we are going to be off and on a rant and just, I'm sorry. These are things that drive me insane. Ultimately, we should all be a big, happy, smiley wine family. But when you see things like this, you realize there's such a gaffe and such a rift that still exists.
But the heat in the studio is intense today.
Yes, it is. But right now, we are going to take a quick breath. We are going to relax because we've got our guest. We got Chris Chislett joining us after the break from blogyourwine.com. And we'll see what he has to say about the subject.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-1639. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower and an elephant. What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we are going to leave all the absurdities behind. We are going to take a deep breath and welcome a breath of fresh air into our studio. And with that, right now, we have Chris Chislett of blogyourwine.com. Chris, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Oh, no, pleasure to be here.
This is just so great. We've had such a strange show. Of course, we've been discussing absurdities and some of the strange things in the wine news. Give me something positive. Give me something outlandish. Tell me about blogyourwine.com.
I think the funny thing is, it's, you know, you ask anybody, you know, any of the wine bloggers that have come up in the last few years, and it's like everybody seems to say the same thing. You know, it's like, I want to make wine unpretentious. I want to make it user-friendly. I want to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it just seems to be everybody saying the same thing, but very few people really kind of live up to that expectation. I'm sure I'm going to catch some abuse for saying that. But I really do think, you know, I just talk to people. I write like, you know, I'm talking to you, you know, right now, face-to-face kind of thing. That's genuinely, you know, I focus on the practical side. You know, I'll review wines, you know, down to $10, I'll go up to $100 plus. And it's really my, you know, what I'm doing is it's really evolving. I work with kind of wineries one-on-one. Some of my content is featured with me, you know, and that's kind of a controversial topic, is, you know, featuring content in exchange for cash. And I'm, you know, never, you know, embarrassed to say that, you know, certainly I always want to put that out there. And some of the other content is just me just talking. I think my biggest thing is I try not to focus too much on, as crazy as it sounds, like the taste of the wine or even, you know, point scores and that kind of thing. I just like to tell a story behind a wine and just, again, make it as user-friendly as possible.
Well, that does make sense, because I think ultimately, now of course, I'm not going to get into a verbal battle with you. I think the Wine Crush does a nice job of making life simple and making wine simple and making people understand that there's one point you can drive home. Wine is for any time, anywhere, whatever you're in the mood for, that's what you ought to be doing. But I do think people get too caught up in the taste. I think too many people get caught up in, oh, well, this winemaker does this, or this makes it does this. By the very nature of people who are in the business, in positions like mine and yours, whether it's a blogger, whether it's media, whether it's a critic, whether it's a editor of a wine magazine, by our very nature and virtue of having achieved where we are, we are going to sometimes not make wine easy, because we try and translate as much as we can, but there's so much assumed knowledge on our part, whether it's knowing the winemakers, yeah, we're knowing the dirt, knowing the vines. We assume a lot, and sometimes I think that alienates people. The very fact
it's true. You know, well, it's even just, you know, things like malolactic fermentation. It's like you mentioned that to somebody, you know, has no idea on it, and they're automatically shut. It's like shut off. But if you, you know, if you just simplify it and, you know, tell them, okay, why that's important and, you know, what the relevance of it is, and, you know, compare a white Burgundy to a Napa Chardonnay, and then, you know, it starts to click, rather than getting into the science-y kind of stuff and telling, you know, what percentage malolactic fermentation is like. Just get the very basics and give people practical examples. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I know what you're saying.
There are very few people, I think, that actually want to know that. But see, you need to take it a step further. I got a reality check about 3 years ago. I did exactly what you're speaking of, malolactic fermentation. I just didn't think about it. I called it mallow. And a little bit later, a listener, it was a live show, someone came up and asked me, well, I didn't realize mallow bars had a place in wine. And they were very, very serious with it. But it made me realize that things that we take for granted, things that we assume we knew, our shorthand, is within itself confusing. So reading your blogs and looking at what you're doing, I think you're bringing it down to a base level. I didn't say base like crude. I mean base level for people to relate to. And I think the dialogue of wine is also what makes people scared of it.
You know, I'm about to do a post on it as soon as I, you know, kind of give it more thought. You just talking about it's kind of helping me. But, you know, everybody's talking about taking the snob out of wine, but it's almost coming round to a lot of, you know, bloggers are talking about, well, you know, how about now putting this kind of snob back into wine? It's like you want to, you know, I don't know about dumbing it down, but just making it accessible, user-friendly, but you don't want to do it to such an extent that, you know, you're talking down to people. And I mean, I never assume knowledge, assume that my readers have certain amounts of knowledge, but you know what I'm saying? It's kind of I think there's dumbing it down, and there's a happy medium there, I believe.
There is. There has to be a happy balance. For our listeners, of course, speaking with blogyourwine.com, when you look at things like this, I use, for an example, going in, all right, the Apple Store. The Apple Store is the perfect example. The Apple Store scares the hell out of me. Number one, I am surrounded by all these 17, 18, 19-year-olds, these 22-year-olds who are actually working the store, and I try and say, well, my phone's not doing this, and they rattle off something that I can't even begin to comprehend what they say. And then you wind up feeling like a moron. So it's through situations like that where I understand how people getting into the wine and trying to understand it get terrified. How do you find, do you ever find yourself censoring yourself and walking backwards and saying, okay, what I just said was complete gibberish? How do you walk away from that?
It's difficult. I mean, I always knew that this was going to be the problem when, I mean, it's like with any evolution, it's, you know, I was just watching one of my videos yesterday that I'd done. I think it's in like, you know, late 2009, and I was like, oh my, you know, face palm, kind of like, oh my god, like what was I thinking? You know, it's I think with me, truthfully, in that regard, I've never. That's one thing I've never really had to deal with. I've always, you know, not put down to people, but made it as user friendly as possible. If anything, I think more the quality of my videos and the quality of my writing and different things that I could probably go back in the writing and, you know, just update the post in WordPress and that's fine. But I think that's truthfully one of the things that I've got on my side is that I really try and make it as user-friendly but also useful as well. You know, I want to tell people that, like, useful information. Honestly, the way that I write my wine review is So you've got literally all the facts. So you know, if you go into a restaurant tonight, you're going to be ordering that particular wine. You have all the ins and outs. You have the insider information that some of that information you wouldn't even find even if you tried searching it. You know, that just comes from experience and, you know, running a wine bar for 7 years and talking to reps and talking to winemakers and getting these cool stories out that just don't appear anywhere. But that's how I try and write my wine reviews, and like the tasting notes portion of it is the absolute smallest and just most direct a part of it. I've almost considered, you know, taking out tasting notes in my wine reviews, because it's, you know, I could taste peach, you could taste apricot, you know. I think it, like you say, it's, people want to know the name of the winery dog. They don't really care what percentage mallow
exactly.
know, the wine came through. So I think that's always one thing that I've focused on. I've never really had too much of a problem with that. It's always been the forefront.
All right. Hey, Chris, we got to take a quick break right here at The Crush. When we return, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about why you decided we needed another blog and what you see coming out of the wine industry, say, in the next 5 years. So do you mind hanging around for a bit?
Certainly, yeah.
All right. Quick commercial break here on The Crush, and more less absurd things coming up after these few messages.
Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write down this number and act fast. We know that the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, full spa, casino, three kids clubs, and more. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you this first cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee, and your cruise is free. It's over a $500 value, and it's yours free.
Call 800-654-0468, 800-654-0468, 800-654-0468, or visit TV Cruise for free. TVCruiseForFree.com.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Right now, we are still speaking with Mr. Chris Chislett, the man behind bloggearwine.com. Chris, are you still hanging out with us?
Hi, absolutely.
Okay.
Not drinking wine yet. I've got a coffee keeping me company so far.
I like the way you think. After a couple indiscriminate episodes around the studio, they took my wine glass away. We're still going to have to talk about that. But regardless. Okay. Now, here on The Crush, I would say in the last 12 months, I have probably had 8 different wine bloggers all on The Crush. And just like you had intimated, everyone says we're trying to make wine easy. What makes your blog different? Why should our listeners go to blogyourwine.com, and what do you offer that the 150,000 other wine bloggers don't?
And that's it. And I mean, you know, as I've kind of already, you know, talked about, it's about the user-friendly aspect of it. But
not just user-friendly. I know we touched on that. Your experience, your background, what is your take? Everyone has a perspective when they look at wine. Well, my perspective is I'm dark, I'm cynical. I know the underside of this business, and I try and steer people away from it. What is the unique perspective that you bring?
Again, it's really more, you know, I think my personality truly does come out. I mean, I have a lot of my friends that, you know, daily followers of the blog and always read my posts, and it's, you know, anybody that knows me, they can read it, and sometimes my words don't exactly flow off the page as, you know, poetically as, I'm not going to start naming names of, you know, some of the top wine pros, but the simplifying it's one thing, but the fun side of it is the other. I think, truthfully, I always kind of wanted to be a stand-up comedian when I was, a wee lad in England. So, you know, there's a little bit of sarcasm comes through, which, you know, some people pick up on that, some people don't. I did I've actually never talked about this, but I did an April Fool's Day post this year on how the Quartermaster sommeliers were going to start introducing hyper decanting.
I know, I saw that. That was priceless.
The Quartermaster sommeliers did reach out for me and asked if I could either take that post down or put a small disclaimer on there, because, I mean, if you read it, it's just absolutely ridiculous that, you know, the Quartermaster sommeliers would introduce, you know, mandate hyper decanting. For anybody that doesn't know, it's just, you know, pouring a bottle of red wine into a blender, just like a household blender, and Quartermaster sommeliers in my post were going to mandate that every restaurant needs to do that table side.
But see, that is the heart of the matter. And that's exactly, I think, what you and I both are trying to get around. Now, if anyone ever read the written word that came off the Wine Crush, they'd think I'm an idiot. I at least had the luxury of tone and understanding when I am ridiculing somebody or something. But regardless, it's the fact that people can still write in and take something so seriously that we're really going to have to put wine in a blender, or that we're really going to have to all of a sudden ban white tablecloths because rosés don't show up against them, or something absurd like that. It really does indicate the divergency in people, what they know about wine, and whether they're going to try and make it part of a lifestyle or they're going to try and still barricade themselves behind this effort of snobbery. And I think
it's kind of a fine balance, and I think that's, you know, where I'm different. I'll have, you know, a couple of days of posts on there that you'll learn nothing. You'll learn absolutely nothing. It'll just be, funny internet memes, or, you know, just whatever, just funny posts or whatever. Then I'll have a couple of days of, you know, back-to-back wine reviews where, you know, not really in-depth. I'm still telling the story, and it's whatever, but it's maintaining that balance without turning into a complete joke, whereas I don't fancy myself as Steve Heimoth either, you know. So it's maintaining that balance, and if you were to ask me what my favorite wine website is, I'd tell you it's mine. It's not my arrogance. I spend, you know, I'm up till 2 o'clock in the morning most nights working on it. So of course, I think
if you can't entertain yourself, who can you entertain? Well, real quick, as we're looking at this, obviously the blogosphere, I personally think it's saturated to the point where we're finally seeing some fall off. We're seeing some people go away. What do you see next for you, and what do you see next for the blogosphere? Everyone's talking about it's going to be, you mentioned you already do some videos, but where are we going to take this? Where do our consumers and our listeners and our readers want us to go next?
Difficult, and potentially could get extremely controversial, at least my views. I am one of the very few bloggers that actually works for money. You know, most bloggers aren't working for money. I think that's going to be a big change. I'm inundated. I mean, today probably 20 emails from PR companies. I'm not saying PR companies are going to go away, because I've got a lot of good friends and a lot of guys that have really kind of helped
helped me along the way, even though they shouldn't, because, I mean, they're kind of, you know, competition, essentially. But I think we're definitely going to see a change from, you know, amateur bloggers going into more, almost like starting their own sort of media agencies, kind of like I'm doing. You know, content creation seems to be the future. And, you know, the way I get around it is because I could see, you know, how some people would say, well, you know, you're only saying that wine's amazing because
they paid you to.
You know, of course, you know, well, the way that I get around that is, again, I don't focus on you know, my tasting notes. I never give out, you know, scores. That's the way that I've kind of come to terms with sort of getting around it. But I think that, I think it's more, you know, when a few years ago, if you tell somebody you're going to start a blog, it's like, great, you know, that's wonderful. I expect you to quit in 3 months. You know,
yes.
It's kind
you
of,
expect
it's
someone just, to give it
you
up.
Know, I almost don't like the term blog, but I think I see that's the way that it is going. You know, bloggers turning, you know, just generally bloggers turning into professional writers and, you know, being recognized rather than, you know, PR companies hoping that if I send you a few wine samples, you'll blog about it for free and, you know, they'll reap the reward. And
but
you know,
there's no guarantee that's going to be a good blog. And Chris, I'm not trying to do this argumentatively and I'm not trying to fight with you. I've got to ask this question is if you're thinking that's going to be the future of blog. I know that here on the Wine Crush, when I have certain wine opinions, generally because of the coarseness of my nature, fortunately, I think it's the FDC, make sure that 7 words I can't use to describe a lot of things I don't use, but that's the only censorship I tend to find. When you're being paid to blog, when you're being paid to write, are there ever those subjects and those topics that you simply avoid because you know your sponsors aren't going to like it?
Sorry, Sagan, is there ever, you say content that I'll hold off on posting because...
You're worried that the people who pay you would take offense to it or the people who pay you would be offended by it. Do you ever just take a moment and go, ooh, I can't write that. I want to, but I can't.
I haven't been, and I've worked with numerous clients, and, you know, I'm more than happy to give out names and, you know, tell you different wineries. My most recent wine review is a good example. I'll never badmouth a wine. I think that's the big thing. I will never, ever badmouth wine. Unless, it, you know, it's corked, and that's, of course, not the fault of the, you know, the winery or something like that. You know, I'm sure there's a place, you know, people, you know, they're still selling Boone's Farm. I mean, you know, Boone's Farm has its market. Will it appear on my blog? Probably not, you know. I mean, well, you know, definitely not. My most recent wine review, I'm drinking it out of, it's not quite a redneck wine glass, but have you seen the I just saw it posted on a website the other day. It's a red cup.
The red solo cup, of course, from Toby Keith.
Yeah. For the Libby candle holder. I didn't ask the winery that, you know, if, oh, you guys going to have any problem with, you know, me featuring your wine? No, it's, I mean, the point I make is, you know, this is easy drinking, you know, like, I think $14 retail wine. And, you know, some stuff I'm... the one thing just recently that I thought of is the CNBC show, the Costco, the lead buyer for Costco comparing
yes.
wine to toilet paper.
Yes, actually, we discussed that earlier in the show.
Yeah, this stuff kind of goes through my mind. It's like, well, you know, Costco are huge, you know, you're really picking fights.
So ultimately, you can look at it objectively, but there's not a situation where you find yourself in where it's a conflict. That does make sense. Hey, Chris, we appreciate you being on The Crush today. For our listeners, where can they find your blog again?
It's blogyourwine.com, blogyourwine.com.
And, of course, the link to blogyourwine.com is going to be on The Crush. Chris, I hate to rush you through, but, of course, unfortunately, we have a certain page count around here, and right now we are counting down to a break. So thank you very much for your time today, and we will definitely be keeping up with blogyourwine.com.
Thank you.
All right, few last words from our sponsors, and we'll wrap up today's show, and it's all absurdities and everything else in between.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
So you're sitting in your car or truck in traffic and it seems to be running fine right now, but how do you know it will tomorrow, this afternoon? Can you afford to miss that meeting or family event? Don't risk it. Z-Max it. Z-Max is the engine performance product that makes a good engine oil great and gives you the assurance your vehicle will keep running smooth and strong day after day, year after year. Why wouldn't you ride with Z-Max? Get Z-Max at your local retail parts store now or log on to Z-Max.com to find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
You can win gas, lots of gas, free gas, all the gas you'll need for a year. Interested? I thought so. It's PRN's Win Gas for a Year sweepstakes, presented by Wix Filters and Nationwide Insurance. Enter today, and soon you may be the one who doesn't care how high the price of gas goes. For you, it's free. To enter or for official rules, go to goprn.com/fans. But hurry, though, the contest ends June 30th.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. It was great having Chris on the show to actually point out even more absurdities. I like the idea that he has about, oh, I don't know, pointing out what is truth, what is involved in blogs. So hats off to Chris. Thanks for being part of The Crush. So today, obviously, I have hit the high note, and I've actually been a little bit fired up about some things going on. But I'm going to go ahead and end the show on a note that just has my blood boiling, and you're going to see my true colors come out today. Ultimately, there's a lot of articles right now about beer and wine wholesalers behind legislatures pushing the controversial voter ID laws. Ultimately, you have people in the media that are looking toward beer and wine wholesalers saying that we are not only corrupt, but ultimately that we are looking to be the people to discriminate against everybody else, and that we're the ones that are truly forestalling the idea of a voter ID law. Let me go ahead and make something clear. Obviously, we think that we have to have IDs to buy alcohol. Ultimately, anywhere in this country, right now, all 50 states, if you want to go buy a beer, if you want to go buy a bottle of wine, if you want to go buy something, what do you have to do? You have to give a driver's license. You have to give an ID. You have to show that you are of age to purchase that. End of story, plain and simple. If you have to prove your age and who you are to buy alcohol, my personal opinion is, why shouldn't you have to prove your age and who you are to vote? I'm sorry, it's very simple, it's very cut and dried. If you want to take issue with it, call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. As always, here in The Crush, reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.